Arc Valley Helping Hands, a local nonprofit community-based organization with a mission to help seniors stay and thrive in their homes with the help of local volunteers. Helping Hands provides assistance with chores, rides to the doctor's office or the grocery store, or just friendly visits. So, to volunteer or become a member, call 719-530-1198 or email info.avhh@gmail.com.
KHEN is supported in part by High Country Bank, living in, working in, and loving our local community for 130 years. Serving Salida from two convenient locations, as well as locations in Buena Vista and Canyon City. Building futures together. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'll light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today.
You're listening to KHEN Radio 106.9 FM, Salida, Colorado. This is the Chafee Housing Report. I'm your host, Ken Matthews. Thanks to our show's producer, John Prey. We're recording the show and it will be podcast. To listen to a podcast of this show or any other previous show, go to khen.org, then to podcast, then to Chafee Housing Report, then to the particular show you wish to listen to. You can download the show and listen to it while you're traveling or otherwise at your leisure without being on khen.org. Chafee Housing Report focuses on issues related to affordable housing needs in Chafee County, people involved in policy making to assist in affordable housing, people involved in the development of affordable housing, and people and or businesses affected by the lack of affordable housing in Chafee County. We also bring up topics that are of particular interest to the public that affect housing in many ways, and transportation is one of those. And today our topic is a vision of Salida's Gateway, which is a partnership between the City of Salida and Colorado Department of Transportation to create a new gateway into Salida at the intersection of Oak Street, which is the southernmost extension of 291 that runs through downtown Salida, and U.S. Highway 50. Our guest today to discuss this project and how citizens can provide input to that project are David Lady, who's the City of Salida's Public Works Director, and Andrew Amend with Stolfus and Associates, who I believe is the consultant with CDOT on the project. And I'll ask Andrew to describe his role a little bit more. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for taking time to be on the Chafee Housing Report.
Thanks for inviting us, Ken.
We'll start with a little background of who you are and what your training is and what you've done. And I'll start with David. What does a public works director do for Salida?
All right. Well, public works director's role definitely varies depending on the size of community and whatnot, and a community the size of Salida tend to wear quite a few different hats. And so have responsibility over water, wastewater, and streets infrastructure, as well as the planning that goes into what the future might look like with some of that infrastructure. So my background is I'm a licensed civil engineer as well. Spent time on the design side as well as on the municipal side. And currently with this project, I'm facilitating as the city's representative as far as supporting some of our goals and needs with the project and what we hope to accomplish.
How long have you been in this position with the City of Salida?
It's been about 4.5 years now.
And where did you come from and what were you doing before you came to Salida?
Yeah, I worked for a city in Kansas for about almost 4 years. And prior to that, I was worked for two different consulting firms out in Colorado for 7.5 years, working more on the design and project management side of things, similar to Andrew's role as a consultant. So Yeah, graduated from engineering school back in 2004.
How many personnel are in the Public Works Department for Salida?
We have right around 20 employees right now.
Okay, thanks. Andrew, please tell us a bit about what you're doing in your role for Stolfus. Is that right?
Stolfus. Yes.
And yes. And what's your professional training and what's your role on the redevelopment of the intersection of Oak Street and US Highway 50?
Yeah, so I'll start off and just by saying Stolfus and Associates is a transportation engineering firm. We're based in the Denver Tech Center. We're a small company. We're only about 15 employees right now. All engineers and then some administrative staff. But our role throughout the state is as a transportation consultant is to come into communities like Salida as well as helping CDOT with some of their issues throughout the state and looking at things like traffic engineering studies as well as design concepts and putting together construction plan sets for transportation projects. As consultants, really that is, something that we do to help support the staff that municipalities like the City of Salida or the Colorado Department of Transportation already have. And so my background is as a civil engineer, attended Colorado State University and graduated there in 2004. I am a licensed professional engineer, but I've specialized in transportation engineering throughout my career. So really we're part of the team here to help them look at the intersection of Oak Street and Highway 50, as well as the Highway 291 corridor going north of the intersection and try to identify what's the plan for the future there and how can we improve that so that it kind of meets the community's goals and can also satisfy the CDOT requirements from an engineering perspective.
And who is paying you?
We are actually being paid by both the Colorado Department of Transportation and the City of Salida. So it's a true partnership. We don't pick sides, I'd like to say. So we really want to help them both out and get them on the same page as far as understanding what that there may be some conflicting interests between what a city wants and what the Department of Transportation wants.
Well, let's start with a really basic question. We are going to make it easier for listeners to envision what we're talking about. If you go to the Chafee Housing Report a portion of the KHN website, our producer John Prey has posted three alternatives that are being considered for this intersection. And we're going to discuss those in some detail with our guests. And I think it'll make a lot more sense if you can look at the diagram at the same time, listener. So I'll give you some time to go ahead and click on to that. And in the meantime, I'm going to ask a question that's been asked and answered by the people involved in this. But let's hear what the question and the answer is. Why do we need it to do anything different at Highway 50 and Oak Street?
This is David here. And, I think originally there has been discussion at the city council level as far as goals to improve City of Salida's gateway entrances. State Highway 291 is really the entrance into the downtown portion of Salida off of Highway 50 for westbound traffic. Currently, there are some facilities that are lacking as far as proper drainage, pedestrian movements, bike movements, and infrastructure to support all types of transportation. That's one thing that has come up with meetings with our council, as well as finding other ways to beautify our entrance and hopefully control some of the turning movements for larger vehicles as well. Andrew could probably chime in on some other project goals that we have kind of discussed collaboratively with CDOT.
Yeah, I think the main issue, I think Salida, like David said, is looking to really add some amenities to the 291 corridor. And even at the intersection, I think there's a desire to create kind of an environment that you know, pedestrians can get across the highway more easily, and those types of things. So that's one aspect of it. But being that both Highway 50 and Oak Street are owned by the Department of Transportation, they have a different mission than what CDOT has, and their mission is primarily moving people and freight throughout the state. And so we're trying to meet that balancing act where we can address both of those interests in a way that's reasonable for everyone and that everyone can live with. Really what we're doing right now is a planning effort that could be, you know, long-term. I don't think there's any intention right now of actually implementing these changes, you know, in the immediate future, but it's more as a plan gets developed and we see that, hey, this is a step that the community wants to move forward with. We've already checked the boxes and made sure that CDOT's comfortable with that decision-making as well.
Well, I would say that as somebody who drives that highway every day, I think that intersection is a very dangerous intersection. Not only right at the intersection of Highway 50 and Oak Street, but further up Oak Street, because County Road 105 comes in just north of that intersection, and that's become it's a both a commercial and a residential development off of that street. There's quite a bit of traffic coming on and off of Oak Street from Highway 105, which then, you know, is endangered by people coming off of Highway 50 at a pretty rapid pace that come north, and it's not too very many feet, you know, maybe or yards, maybe 50 yards, I'm thinking, before you get the high 105, County Road 105. And there was also a project that the city undertook some time back called re-envisioning Highway 50. And what kind of came out of that, I think, is a pretty universal opinion, was that speed needed to be checked on Highway 50. As you come from Canyon City, come from the southeast toward that intersection, come from a two-lane highway, and it broadens to a four-lane highway, which tends to make people speed up, not slow down, and that's right before you get to that intersection. So I think there's some serious challenges there, and I'm glad that we're undertaking it. That's my editorialization on this, but I think it's really needed something there. So why don't we just dive right in? Do you have anything to say, either of you, related to any of my comments?
Well, I think I would probably just note the overall scope of this planning effort is really two independent parts. One is looking at the intersection and potential alternatives that may be implemented at a later date for the intersection, but although it's adjacent to it, but a separate scope is to look at the streetscape, which is essentially what does that street look like from the intersection up to essentially Walnut, or where curb gutter sidewalk starts near the city Talbert building. And so just want to make sure everyone's aware we're looking at two separate components there.
Right. I was going to take this on as the intersection first, then get to the streetscaping maybe in our second half hour.
Great.
Okay, great. Thanks for reminding me of that, though, David. Let's go ahead and look at the alternatives that are currently being considered. And remember, listeners, your feedback is important. And go to khen.org, and you can get the website link. Click on it directly there and make your comments. You can review these three alternatives in a lot of detail. It's a pretty interesting website that they've put together. But let's talk about alternative one for the intersection of Oak Street and Highway 50, which to me appears to be a traffic light with crosswalks and things like that. Why don't you discuss it more? Give us more detail, whoever wants to dive in.
Right. I think alternate one is essentially working with site conditions very similar to what exists there today. This alternate was looked at during previous planning concepts for Highway 50, the revisioning project that you discussed, as well as a corridor study that was done a number of years back. And so it utilizes a controlled intersection, whether it has a signal or not. That is what's shown here. Andrew could get into a little bit more details on when a signal might be warranted. But again, this more or less reflects the site that exists today. As you'll see, one concept that's shown on alternate one is some sort of entryway, whether it's a visitor center or a kiosk in some unused CDOT right-of-way. That would be something that we could look at if that alternate was selected. Don't believe CDOT really has any plans for it, and it has come up in prior discussions. It's essentially fronts the Two Rivers development to the east and then Oak Street to the west. But anyways, how about Andrew gets a little bit more into some of the design considerations that come into play with this alternate?
Yeah, Andrew, if you could tell us, what are the pluses and the minuses of this particular alternative?
Yeah, happy to. You know, obviously, a traffic signal is something that everyone's accustomed to using when they're driving around. And so I think, most people have a fairly positive impression of them. You talked earlier about some of the safety issues at the intersection, and a traffic signal can certainly help some of those out a little bit. As far as the con side goes, really the big issue with the traffic signal is there is a what they call a traffic signal warranting process. And this is as described in a federal guideline called the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices. Bit of a mouthful, but really this is kind of the traffic engineer's Bible that tells us where we should or should not be putting in traffic signals. And one of the challenges with this intersection is that there actually isn't enough traffic there right now to warrant that traffic signal. So from particularly from the CDOT perspective, but also a municipality like the city of Salida would kind of be beholden to these same regulations and guidelines. They really can't install a traffic signal at the current time because we don't meet those minimum traffic thresholds. The traffic analysis we've done, and it involves a lot of kind of forecasting and looking at where development might happen in and around Salida. We typically look at a 20-year planning horizon. And when we look at that planning horizon, it looks like there probably will be enough traffic there to warrant a signal by that time. My crystal ball is as good as anyone else's, I'd say. So we can't make any guarantees of when that threshold would be crossed and a signal could go in. And really the downside to that is without a traffic signal there, there aren't a lot of great ways to get pedestrians and bicyclists across the intersection safely until that happens. So that's a little bit of the dilemma we have with the signalized option.
One of the questions that or concerns that I have is traffic lights, it seems like they're going to cause backups both on the highway and on Oak Street. The traffic light could cause that. Also, we have people coming in from the east, and they're coming at 55 miles an hour, and they're coming up to a traffic light, and they see a yellow. People are going to blow through that yellow. And then it induces even more speed onto the commercial area of Highway 50. That's a downside that I see. Another downside that I see is if you have people turning left off of Oak Street or turning left westbound on Highway 50 into onto Oak Street, you end up having potentially backups due to having to wait for that, or you know, it solves some problems, but it seems to me like it creates some problems as well. What are your comments on that, Andrew?
Yeah, so those are the types of things that we look at when we do our traffic analysis. And you know, for in this particular case, the signal we think would operate in a way that you're not going to see a lot of big backups. But certainly, you know, traffic that's on Highway 50, once a signal is installed, they're going to experience delays, you know, at red lights and whatnot that they don't experience right now. For the traffic trying to make left turns off of Oak Street, you know, those backups will probably be less significant with the traffic signal, because people aren't sitting there trying to find a gap in that traffic that, as you noted, is likely going at a pretty high rate of speed under the present configuration. So that would be kind of my comment on that is that we have looked at what we would expect those traffic backups to be, and we think they're very manageable at the projected levels.
Thanks, Andrew. You're listening to KHEN Radio 106.9 FM. This is the Chafee Housing Report. We're interviewing David Lady, who is the Public Works Director for the City of Salida, and Andrew Amond, who is a consultant who's working with the City of Salida and the Colorado Department of Transportation regarding future planning for the intersection at Highway 50 and Oak Street in Salida. We've reviewed alternative one. We're going to go to alternative two, which is a rather large roundabout. That seems to be looking to handle traffic east and westbound on Highway 50 and north-south bound on Oak Street. Also looks like it would be servicing a commercial area to the kind of the southwest corner of that roundabout, if roundabouts in fact have corners. And then also incorporating County Road 105 into that roundabout to control that intersection as well. Gentlemen, comments on this particular alternative?
Sure, I guess I'll kind of provide a broad overview of that. It's noted it's a second much different concept compared to alternate one, where a roundabout is becoming more and more common in street highway designs. It functions a lot differently. There's the pros and cons vary quite a bit from a signalized intersection. I believe one of the reasons it was considered as an alternative for this project is One thing you need for a roundabout is adequate space. And at that location, there is quite a bit of CDOT right-of-way to fit in a roundabout. So that's definitely a need in order to make it work is space, because they do take up more real estate than, say, a traditional signalized intersection. Another reason why oftentimes they're considered as an alternate is they work fairly well in locations where you have streets coming in at different angles other than just a T or 90 degree. And County Road 105 definitely makes this location a bit of a challenge for any sort of intersection design because of proximity at where it ties into Oak Street as well as Highway 50. And so this would accommodate turning movements both left and right coming off of and onto County Road 105, which is one of the pros as far as traffic flows and traffic patterns. So I guess I'll let Andrew get into a bit more of the details on the pros and cons and maybe some challenges that he's seen with laying this out.
We have heard based off of some of the feedback we've been getting that, you know, a lot of people are concerned with that, with a roundabout, and particularly the ability of the larger trucks that are on Highway 50 to get through that. But the state of Colorado has seen a lot of success with roundabouts, particularly in mountain areas along I-70. You can go to, you know, Vail, Avon, Eagle. All of those communities rely really heavily on roundabouts, and they see a lot of traffic going through them, and they're managed very well, even on a highways like this. Highway 9 near Breckenridge has a few roundabouts that would be similar to this type of layout. As David pointed out, you know, this is a little bit unusual because of County Road 105 coming in and kind of creating that fifth roundabout leg. And so that was a little bit of a challenge from a design perspective, but we feel comfortable from an engineering standpoint that that can be made to work and function well. You pointed out the southwest leg of that, and we're really just showing that because there is a property there that currently there's no plans for developing it, but should it develop at some point in the future, it would need to have access to the state highway. And so that's what we're showing, is that potential future access point there. One of the benefits of this option, other than full access from County Road 105 to Highway 50, is that there isn't a warrant process like there is with a traffic signal. So if everyone was agreement that this was the direction they wanted to turn to, CDOT could go out next year if they wanted, because they don't have to meet any of those minimum thresholds for traffic. One of the benefits to that approach would also be that we could serve pedestrian crossings sooner rather than later and not have to wait for, again, like a traffic signal to warrant. The other point that you've brought up previously of, you know, the higher speeds on Highway 50, a roundabout does a really nice job of getting traffic slowed down. They are intentionally designed with sharper entry curves that force people to slow down so that they're going through the intersection at much slower speeds, typically around 50 miles an hour is what the interior of those of the roundabouts are designed for. And we would be adding curvature to the highway on those approaches so that people have a chance to, you know, decelerate at a reasonable, comfortable rate as they're coming into the roundabout there.
I think perhaps another item to note with this being more or less on the east end of town, another way that a roundabout is utilized is essentially a place to make a U-turn within the highway. So as, say, properties on the south side of the highway were to build out or have increased traffic, if you're unable or uncomfortable making a left turn off of Highway 50, you can utilize a roundabout to go through it and essentially do a U-turn.
I was also speaking to someone at the coffee shop today about this project, and she specifically mentioned how much she enjoyed and felt safe through the roundabouts that Andrew mentioned earlier up in Vail, Eagle area, and how those seem to function and provide some pretty good direction through some complex intersections up there. And I would call this a fairly complex intersection with Highway 5, County Road 105 being involved. You're listening to KHEN Radio 106.9 FM. This is the second half hour of the Chafee Housing Report with our guest, David Lady, who's the Public Works Director for the City of Salida, and Andrew Amond, who is a consultant working with the City of Salida and Colorado Department of Transportation on the intersection of Oak Street and U.S. Highway 50 and doing some future planning. We have covered alternatives one and two, and these alternatives can be seen on khen.org. If you go to the podcast section and then click on Chafee Housing Report, there these alternatives, a diagram of them are up there and you can follow. We're going to go into, we'll look at alternative three, which is another roundabout, and the primary difference I can see is the way that this roundabout deals with the entry of County Road 105. Can you describe, one of you describe, how this alternative three and how it deals with the entrance of County Road 105 is different from alternative two, and what advantages or disadvantages they are to the treatment of 105, County Road 105's integration into this intersection?
Sure, this is David here. I'll leave most of this to Andrew, because as you noted, it is very similar to alternate two. I think the big thing to, or the, one of the takeaways when looking at these is really understanding how turning movements might be different. Alternate three has pretty much the same pros and cons from a pedestrian standpoint, but it certainly makes it a little bit more challenging getting on and off of County Road 105, which is the road that goes towards, say, Two Rivers and River Ridge and some of the new developments on that end of town. And also, I believe it takes a little bit more real estate to really allow for that geometry to fit on the site. Andrew, do you want to elaborate a bit more as far as what led to the development of this alternative?
David really hit it all on the head. Really, this alternative, because it was a challenge to fit five legs into the roundabout and alternative two, we wanted another alternative that would feel a little bit closer to a traditional roundabout. The access off of County Road 105 is more limited. If you are looking to get back onto Highway 50 and head westbound from County Road 105, you wouldn't be able to do that in this option directly. You'd probably have to take Scott Street, possibly up north to Illinois, and then start working your way back over to the highway from there. So that's really the major difference in this option, is just that level of access to and from County Road 105.
Yeah, it seems to me that this alternative creates problems rather than solving problems. The two works much better in terms of the traffic flow. I mean, you cannot, when I looked at this, I was going, how do you turn left off of County Road 105 and get on this roundabout? And you can't. as you just mentioned, right, Andrew?
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. So it, you know, it's really, I'll just be honest, it's not my favorite option, but it's, you know, one that we wanted to present and see how people felt about it. Certainly, you know, especially over to the Two Rivers development area over there, access becomes a little bit more challenging.
Well, it's not only Two Rivers. I mean, we've done interviews with people who are, the developer of River Ridge that David mentioned. That's a pretty good sized development too. And then Two Rivers has a commercial area that's, gosh, probably not 25% built out. So that's going to be a pretty big commercial area. I just don't see how this one works. I kind of agree with you, Andrew, that it's not my favorite. I've gone on and read comments on the site, and there's a lot of people who are absolutely hate roundabouts, and they don't really say why. I think it's somewhat a level of haven't experienced them very much. But what are your ideas on why people are just have kind of a negative reflex to roundabouts versus an intersection that's more familiar to them? I think a lighted intersection.
No, I think you're probably right. You know, a lot of it is just familiarity. You don't have many to think of or speak of, right, in central Colorado. As Andrew mentioned, especially off the I-70 corridor, there's quite a few more. There are, I think, places where I think there's been some very large roundabouts that are perhaps a little bit confusing or difficult to navigate. There might be. And also, sometimes there's what's called a traffic circle, which is different from a roundabout, and you know, they're not necessarily very efficient to navigate your way through. And so I think it really comes down to the design and the site conditions and the traffic counts and those sorts of things to really allow it to be successful. But as noted, if you do it right, they can work quite well and add some real benefit to the intersection.
Well, let's go on to talk about the second phase of the project that you're looking for comment on, and that's streetscaping that is on Oak Street. And there, if you follow the link on Cahen, you can go to some of these streetscape ideas. But David, would you mind describing sort of what the concepts are or what you're trying to accomplish with the streetscaping and how that might look?
Certainly. I know a lot of the reasoning for even looking at the streetscape is presently, if you were to drive that section of Oak Street, you'll find a paved roadway without any curb and gutter and drainage improvements, without any sidewalks or bike lanes. And as Salida grows to the east, which is really where there is a significant amount of development potential, there's going to be increased traffic counts and desires for people, whether they drive into town or to the schools or bike or walk. That's really the primary corridor. You can utilize Scott Street corridor to parallel this roadway for a number of blocks, but ultimately to get around the corner there towards Walnut and Wood Avenue, you either would need to cross Oak Street or walk on the gravel shoulder. And so when looking at alternatives, I think you'll see in all three that there are accommodations for pedestrian movements. And also a desire to green up the space a bit where it's possible and where property owners want to work with the city at putting in trees and those sorts of improvements. And so you'll see a common goal of aesthetic improvements, pedestrian bike improvements, as well as drainage improvements. And so that's common with all three of them. One challenge I know that Stolf has had in looking at these is with the right-of-way in places. Oak Street doesn't have a significantly wide right-of-way, which is essentially the public land at which you can construct these improvements. And so that right-of-way width really dictates the ability to put in certain improvements without acquiring right-of-way. And I don't think that would be a goal we'd hope to accomplish this project utilizing the existing right-of-way.
So, David, when I looked through those different alternatives, one of the examples shows on the left-hand side as you're going into town, it illustrates a shared kind of wide sidewalk that would be for both pedestrians and bikes. And what are the pluses and minuses for shared space like that between bicycles and pedestrians?
Well, I think from an operational standpoint, one of the benefits of it would, if it's designed properly and wide enough, you could essentially plow it. For example, around town, the main pedestrian arterials, such as Monarch Spur Trail or trails that go out County Road 120, Poncha Boulevard, County Road 140, 160, they all have essentially an 8 foot wide, 8 to 10 foot wide trail, which a truck can plow in the winter to remove snow, whereas sidewalks are more challenging. 4 to 5 foot wide sidewalk is more challenging to maintain during the winter time. So that's one consideration there. Another one is the types of perhaps bike users that would utilize the roadway. Maybe a family or kids or whatnot may feel more comfortable being on a sidewalk with essentially the curb providing a vertical separation between the cars and the pedestrians is perhaps more comfortable than biking on a bike lane right next to the cars. And so that's another reason why that option might want to be considered. But it does take away from the ability to, there's going to be limitations for tree plantings and also depending on what access to properties look like at different locations, there could be challenges and that section may not be feasible the entire length, but certainly in places you could work with that.
Now, another option that was discussed was or demonstrated in this website is having pedestrians on one side and bikes on the other side. Is there enough right-of-way to do that?
Yeah, based off of our review of the right-of-way plans that are available on the county's website, it does appear that there's a right-of-way available there to do the cross section that's shown in alternative two, which would be a bike lane in both directions, and then a little bit narrower sidewalk there on the, it would be the west side of Oak Street. So we do believe there's enough right of way there to accomplish that.
So David, If you went to alternative two, which would have a bike lane on either side and then a walking lane on the west side, could that still be plowed, that walking lane?
I think so. The level of planning that we're doing right now, we do not have survey data to truly look at the existing right-of-way and how much space we have to work within, but I do think that by having at least a sidewalk on one side, that could be wider. It may be a challenge to fit one on each side, such as shown in alternate three. And I think another thing, just to note with all three of these alternates, is I think the hope is to look at it from a cost-effective measure and perhaps be able to also utilize the existing pavement that's there for much of it, make it more of a viable project from a cost standpoint. And so Again, once we survey the pavement that's there and the property lines, we'll be able to hone in exactly what section is going to work, and if it's going to work the entire length, or as noted, there may be some portions where it might be a combination of two. Not a significant change, but some design consideration on it. Look at that.
So, listeners, the city wants your input. Go to khen.org. Go to the Chaffee Housing Report. Look at these alternatives. Click on the website link there. Go and voice your opinion. Regarding the highway intersection, Highway 50 intersection with Oak Street, they want your input by August 31st. That is next Monday. So get on there and give them your input. Let's go back to money. These things all come down to money sometimes. Who would pay for the roundabout?
You know, that's a great question.
Or whatever you do at that intersection. I expose my bias, I guess, but we're done with that particular intersection. How would it be paid for?
As I know Andrew noted early on in our discussion, CDOT's goals and the city's goals may be different. May want to, if there's a real safety advantage or an advantage to convey traffic more efficiently, oftentimes they will take on intersection projects such as that. I think we've seen them just recently install a traffic bunch of springs. That was a CDOT initiated project. And, you know, I think just given the cost that a roundabout would likely run, I would certainly anticipate that the city would look for a partnership with CDOT in funding a project such as that. I don't know exactly where CDOT would stand as far as streetscape improvements. There are definitely some pedestrian benefits. Transportation needs need to be met. So I think we are seeing a shift to where they would likely have a desire to support a project such as this. I've been involved with CDOT meetings. Region 5 is based in Durango, and that's the region we're in. And they do a four-year planning process to look at different routes within our region and where they fall on the prioritization for improvements. And I would say, I believe State Highway 291, specifically through Salida, was ranked in the top five. And so I think they have a real interest in at least giving it some attention, and we'll see where it falls once we get a little bit further along in the planning and how much buy-in there is. And also hope to kind of generate some preliminary cost estimates to see what size of project it may be.
Biking and walking is a major form of transportation in Salida. See a lot of bikes, see a lot of people walking, and that is not a favorable route to walk on or bike on right now, going down Oak Street. So that is your thoughts on cost?
And I certainly can't throw out a dollar amount for you. But what I will say is CDOT was interested in finding local partners. Since COVID-19 really kicked in, their budgets have gotten a lot more restrained. And so their situation might be a little bit different going forward. But I know from my past experience with them is that if the locals are able to bring some money to the table, CDOT usually is will do everything they can to find the money on their end to make the project happen. And a lot of times, you'll see CDOT fund 90% of a project and the locals throw in 10% or something like that. So I think all of those options are on the table, but it's also going to be heavily dependent on what the state budget situation is.
And, you know, I would note, I know the director at CDOT has noted that they want to take a look at context-sensitive solutions and by investing into the planning early on in the process makes us a much higher candidate for those sorts of partnerships, just because it shows how we've reached out to the community, try to get buy-in locally so that if CDOT were to take on one or both of these projects or work with us at developing it, hopefully there's a solution already identified in a direction that would be received well within the community. So our goal is to hopefully really, as noted, get as much community feedback as possible, but also work with in the means of the project goals and the CDOT traffic code and everything else that affects how this is implemented.
You're listening to KHEN Radio, 106.9 FM, Salida, Colorado. This is the Chafee Housing Report. You're listening to our guest, David Lady, who's the Salida Public Works Director, and Andrew Amon, who is a consultant working with the City of Salida and Colorado Department of Transportation related to the intersection of Highway 50 and Oak Street and streetscaping that would take place going into the City of Salida from the southeast. Is it fair to say that a roundabout situation is more expensive than controlling this intersection with a light?
That's definitely the case. I think CDOT roundabout numbers are historically several magnitudes more expensive than installing a signalized intersection.
David, I have a question for you. Is when I first saw this intersection and saw the leg either off of the lighted intersection or off of the roundabout solutions to the southeast, I thought, oh, that's an entrance to Vandeveer. But you advised me, no, that's not the case. And Andrew earlier mentioned that it's an undeveloped property that this would provide future access to. The entrance to the Vandeveer property is further southeast from this, correct? Didn't you tell me it's off County Road 104?
Correct. Yeah, there's other property owners that own the undeveloped parcels both immediately north and south of the South Arkansas River in that proximity. So County Road 104, which is in between the National Forest Service offices, and this intersection is more or less likely one of the east entrances, as well as County Road 107 serving the west side of the Vandeveer property.
Man, I guess at some point in time, if Vandeveer is developed, there's going to have to be some sort of traffic control there, possibly.
That's possible, yeah. It's definitely not being looked at as far as the scope of this study, but you're correct. As Andrew noted, the traffic counts and warrants would dictate some of the improvements that would likely go in at a later day at those locations. Of course, 107 is a signalized intersection currently along Highway 50, and so it's likely that that could function very similar to how it currently does.
Okay, the last question I have for you is the one that when I talk to people about the development and the planning for this intersection, they all said, great, but what they really want is they don't want large construction trucks coming right through the middle of downtown Salida. And then they were going, will this do anything to change that? And I took a guess and I said, no, it's not going to do that. That's a constant complaint I hear. And I know it's a highway going right through downtown, but how could it ever change that would not occur? you know, there's a lot of traffic that's not coming into downtown large trucks. It's not like there's all of them are delivery trucks. Some of them are aggregate trucks just cutting through town because it's the quickest way to get from one part of the area to another part. So any comments on those concerns that people have and any possible way for those to be addressed?
I have been involved in a few conversations, but not all. I know there has been discussions with CDOT as far as is there a way to restrict certain types of vehicles? And what I understand is with it being a state highway, there are very limited abilities to change how it currently functions with it under the state's jurisdiction. You know, looking at an intersection, there are ways to create the road geometry so that it may be awkward or tight for a large vehicle to make certain turning movements. That's one way that planning can help reduce, I guess, traffic that's shortcutting essentially, you know, the 285-50 intersection. I don't know how much traffic is actually, you know, necessarily shortcutting through town versus just more or less in-town traffic. Of course, there's a number of construction companies that have their yards kind of more towards Smeltertown. And so I think a lot of what we see is local truck traffic. And so if restrictions were put in place, what alternate routes might those businesses have? That could be definitely a challenge to work through. But again, Andrew may know the state's potential to allow for restrictions on truck traffic. I don't have a great answer on that. Andrew, do you know anything more on that end?
Yeah, I think you're correct in your initial assessment. CDOT, just because of what their mission is and the way that the laws are written, they really don't have the ability to say, hey, we will not allow trucks on this route. Really, the only times they do that are they can regulate hazardous material loads, which I'm sure are not permitted along this route. And then the other exception is if you have a weight-restricted bridge along the route that they may restrict trucks. But aside from that, their hands are kind of tied as well. So really what we do in these types of situations is try to make the route less desirable for those truck drivers to select. And I think we're kind of getting at some of those things with these streetscape options we're showing. One thing we're doing is showing more narrow through lanes. The typical through lane on a highway is 12 feet wide, and we're showing it at 11 feet wide. But then also as you develop the highway in this area, it's going to tend to slow people down generally, and those trucks are going to feel less and less comfortable, and it's not going to feel like a faster way to get anywhere. Once you've got, you know, potentially bike lanes running next to you, and you've got, you know, a curb line there, all of those things kind of contribute to lowering speeds overall. And I think if that's the case, you'll see trucks selecting other routes.
Okay. One last question, then we have to wrap it up. This light that was installed at the intersection of Highway 50 and 285 over in Poncha Springs, is there any possibility that that helps divert large truck traffic in a different way? And I'm thinking more like somebody Googles a route, a truck driver Googles a route, and then that, you know, taking them through that area may become more prevalent now that it's got a light there.
I think it certainly helps for southbound traffic, specifically on weekends or on busier traffic days, just because it was quite challenging to make a left turn off of 285 onto 50. I know it's stacked up the whole way up the hill on some weekends. And so by ensuring that those truckers have the ability to hang a left onto 50, certainly going to help, I would think. How much, I don't know, but to some degree it will.
Thank you, David Lady. Thank you, Andrew Amond. Appreciate it. We'll look forward to what happens on this. And citizens, please voice your opinions. Go to the website, voice your opinions. You've been listening to KHEN Radio, 106.9 FM. This is the Chafee Housing Report. Thanks for listening.